Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more. More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast 101 interview with Melora Hardin. this is brought to you by 111 Productions, iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, iHeartPodcasts. And Melora Hardin portrayed Carolyn Bates. Carolyn was set up with Christopher by Emily and Richard at Friday Night Dinner. Let me tell you something about Melora Hardin, who she is. She's an actress best known for roles as Jan Levinson on NBC's The Office, Trudy Monk on the USA Network's Monk, and Tammy Cashman on Amazon Prime Video's Transparent, which she received a Primetime Emmy Award nomination. I want to talk about that too, how that felt, how you found out. Melora's been in many, many feature films, including Hannah Montana, the movie, 17 Again, Thank You for Smoking, Absolute Power, opposite Clint Eastwood, and Gene Hackman. And what a scene that was with Gene Hackman. And 27 Dresses. She stars in the first one-woman movie ever made, A Golden Vanity, as Mabel Montgomery, an iconic child star a la Judy Garland. The film is currently being submitted to festivals. Melora Hardin, welcome. So excited to talk to you and to meet
you. Thank you.
First of all, how'd you get this role on Gilmore Girls? They just make an offer? I can't imagine they made you audition, but they just offered it to you, right? Please say they offered it to
I'm
you.
I'm trying to remember. I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, Amy Sherman Palladino and I are, we've known each other for a really long time because we used to take ballet together at the same ballet studio as little girls. So I've known her like since we were really young, like maybe 12 or 13. I mean, that long ago.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they offered it to me.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Here come the questions. What was she like as a 12 or 13 year old? Come on, cough it
she's
up.
She's a character, isn't she?
She's a character.
I remember really liking her. I mean, I still really like her. We get along great. You know, she's really fun to, she's so smart and she's quirky and she's so her own person. And, you know, she was always, I think, I mean, I remember just as a little girl, just liking her. I don't remember, like, we weren't like super close friends. I just remember liking her, and we would always say hello at dance class, and she was always friendly to me and we were friendly to each other. And it was really only in later that we, you know, we like kind of hung out as girlfriends a little bit. I think it was after the Gilmore Girls thing. I think it was like we went to lunch a few times. She came and saw me in Chicago on Broadway. I played Roxy Hart and she came and saw me and we went out to dinner and like had a whole like girls hang. And like we've done a few kind of days like that where we've hung out as girlfriends, you know?
That's nice. That's very nice.
Yeah.
So you saw no indication at that time that she was going to go on to become one of the most prolific writers and most awarded writers in television history.
You know, and she's such an incredible, I don't think people really talk enough about her directing. I think she's absolutely exceptional director.
Yeah.
I saw it in this episode, watching this episode again, that she directed, the one that I was in, Parting. But you know, I have particularly noticed it and was able to tell her at the Critics' Choice Awards this year that I just think she's just, her directing on Marvelous Miss Maisel is unbelievable. I mean, really, really inspired, you know?
Oh, you were there. I was there that night.
You
know,
you were?
Amy. Yeah, I saw Amy and Dan that night. Yeah,
I know. So, wasn't that great?
It was great. It was a fun evening. Yeah.
Yeah.
You played Carol and Therapist, being set up as Christopher at Emily and Richard's Friday Night Dinner. Did you think your character had any chance with him?
Sure.
Yeah,
she totally did. I mean, I think what was so great about the character and watching this again was the character was so not in any way desperate or needy.
Right.
She just was just who she was. And right. She was just sort of like being herself. And this guy could either, you know, I think she thought, whatever, he's okay. This is, I mean, she even says it's the most blatant, you know, setup I've ever had, you know, besides my mother. Right. And she thought it was touching that like this friend of her mother's really wanted her to, you know, meet a guy in the new town that she's moved into. And I think that's sweet. You know, and was such a great device to get, you know, to get, Lorelai and Chris is his character's name?
Christopher. Yeah.
Christopher, to get them together again, you know, to get them like talking and he's saving her and it's kind of great. It's particularly great that they call my character Libby, that Libby is so, you know, that she's so centered and so like such a potential, like, catch, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that makes it even more interesting, I think, for the regulars in the show and the fans of the show that Christopher ends up in bed with, you know, Lorelai. I think it's great.
So that's one of the things we just discussed. Do you think that as a therapist, you overstepped your bounds a little bit in that, you know, backseat therapy session? With Lorelai, kind of advocating for her to do something. Is that something that you read in the script and said, ooh, I don't know if a therapist would do that, would go that far? Do you think that
Well, okay? I don't know how many therapists would have a therapy session in their car with a notepad.
You got to suspend your disbelief
after
at that
a
point,
setup right? date right, in this right, like right, tiny right. little idyllic town that you know you guys are all in.
Right. Like the reality is a bit skewed there, so I guess if you can accept anything.
Exactly.
Excellent point. You know, it never dawned on us that it was just a TV show, and we're trying to interpret it as real life. It's like we throw a flag on the play. So those are iconic dinner scenes. Those Friday night dinner scenes are some of the best stuff in the whole thing. What was it like working with everybody?
Really great. Really great. I remember, I mean, for me, what was the most exciting thing was that Ed Herman played my father when I was 9 years old in a Disney movie I did called North Avenue Irregulars.
Oh, my goodness.
And I literally hadn't seen him since then.
He must have remembered.
Of course
right?
he remembered me. And I, of course, and I had such fond memories of him. He was so sweet to me when I was 9 doing that show, sort of a caper movie, really fun movie. Right, if anyone can ever find that, they should. It's really fun. It had like Cloris Leachman and Karen Valentine and Sid Charisse, and I mean, it had some iconic comedians. In any case, that was super fun. So that was, I was mostly focused on Ed. Just, you know, just reconnecting with him. And yeah, but everybody was perfectly nice to me. I don't remember like thinking anything other than that.
So yeah. 9 years old, here you yeah. are.
Yeah. Started acting when I was six professionally.
You're from Houston, right?
Well, I was born in Houston. I was raised here.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So they didn't, your parents didn't move here to pursue right. the business. You moved here anyway.
Well, my parents are both actors. So they did move here for the business for themselves.
Ah. okay.
The reason good. I was born in Houston, Texas is because my dad was doing a production at the Alley Theater in Houston.
Gotcha.
So that's why, yeah, that's why I was there. And then traveling around doing regional theater for the first 5 years of my life. And then, yeah. And then coming to LA, and then really the only reason I got into it was because my parents' commercial agent, when during the time when you had to drop off your headshots because they were physical headshots, just said, "You're so cute. Don't you want to do what mom and dad does?" And I was like, "I can do what mom and dad does." And I'd seen them on stage, and I'd seen them acting, and I'd seen them working on lines. And I think I just loved what it looked like to me. And I was like, can I please? I tugged on their sleeves and tugged on their sleeves. And finally they were like, oh my God, this crazy business with all this rejection. We'll let her go on 10 auditions. If she doesn't get anything, we'll ease her out of it. She'll never know the difference. Mm-hmm. Of course, I got the first thing I went on. So
oh, you did. My gosh.
So that was that.
Were you a child star? Did you go on the talk shows when you were a kid? And all
I didn't go on the talk shows. Okay. I still haven't gone on the talk shows too much.
Really? Really? Yeah. So you were never on like Leno or Carson or any of these things?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not really much of a talk show type, I guess. I don't garner. I mean, I've done like...
No, yeah, they don't like beautiful, hysterically funny people yeah, that are really good at what they do. They hate that. Right. No, I know. Yeah.
I don't know. But it's been just great. Like growing up in this business was super fun, and mm-hmm. yeah, to reconnect with Ed Herman was really, really fun because wow. he really is a highlight in my memory. That was a super fun show to work. That movie was incredible on the back lot of Disney, and they were making Pete's Dragon around the corner, which was a huge movie that came out that summer. And I remember mm-hmm. meeting the animator who gave me a picture, and I have a picture of me with Pete the Dragon, who's completely animated, of course.
Uh-huh. So, right.
Anyway.
Let me ask you.
No more girls.
You played a really integral role here with that scene. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that you realized, you know, your character realized that Lorelai needed to stand up for herself. And asked Luke to elope. Did you think that was the right advice?
Me personally.
Yes, you personally. Melora Hardin, this is your life.
I think it's always good to push people to, if they have noise, if they're suffering about something, I think it's great to push through that so that you can get to the other side faster. And sometimes that requires pushing the boundaries. Sometimes it requires you know, just shutting up and wearing beige. And other times it requires pushing through so that you can get to the freedom faster, the freedom mm-hmm. you know, mind, where you don't have like a static television in the background going in your head.
Because actually can be very toxic, right? So you got to clear it out. Like,
I think
get
so.
Through
it. Yeah. Well, I don't think you can really get anything done from that place, right? From mm-hmm. a place of like noise.
Right.
You know, you have to have clarity, and yeah, and sometimes to get clarity, you have to like, you have to stir it up and make it explode, you know?
Yeah, you got to get out of that paralysis.
That's right.
Interesting. So you were the right person to play that role. You're very psychologically oriented, aren't you?
And I was wearing this necklace in the episode. I noticed this is my personal.
Oh yeah, look at that.
My character wears that necklace, so I put
it
that
remains
specifically for this.
Look at that. I just got an email from somebody. I don't know. They get all these mass emails about, you know, they're collecting celebrity memorabilia downtown Los Angeles this weekend. You could probably fetch a nice sum for that. Anyway, I'll give you the email.
Okay, that's funny. You're right. I could go sell my beautiful.
Absolutely, because that's what we do.
That my mother gave me, so I promise.
So, okay. So Lorelai follows through on this ultimatum, right?
Yeah. Now,
you watched the episode, right?
I did.
All right. What was your reaction?
I loved it. I thought it was great. It was such a good cliffhanger. You know, everything's changing. It's the end of the season, right? It's the last episode of the season when we used to make 22 episodes.
Right. Remember that? The 9 months, it was like
when people could actually make a living on a series because they were making 22 episodes.
You could make a good living, you know,
really good living. And there were a thing called residuals.
Residuals. Remember those?
Remember those?
Mailbox money.
Were amazing when you'd run
to the mailbox. Yeah, you'd skip to the mailbox.
You just skip there. It was so good.
And you'd skip back because you had your residual checks. Yeah. I can eat.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. No, I know, right? Everything's 10 episodes now at low ball money.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a job and it's still, you got your insurance and it's still, you know, a good, decent chunk of money. You can't necessarily live on it, you know, but what the heck? It's better than a stick in the eye, right?
You can't necessarily live on it, and you don't care.
You can't even go to McDonald's on it at $20.
But it's good to work so that you can get your health insurance. You're not making it sound.
Because let me tell you something, you're not going to eat very much, and you're going to need that health insurance. Man, are you ever. And if there ever were residuals where there wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to skip to the mailbox anymore because you'd be in ill health.
You have no energy.
You'd have no energy.
You're starving. Lack of food.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of sucks to be an actor these days, but at least you get to do
and
it.
AI is going to take our job any minute. So, like,
right. And it's like, we don't even know.
Why are we even having this conversation?
By the way, we're not going to need you to report today or like forever. Because don't worry about the copyright stuff.
You just like to buy your voice for $345 in
17 cents.
Oh God, I laugh, yeah. And soon I will be crying.
Yeah, it's over, man. We're done. Oh my God. Yeah, no, the last
all
great
gonna be
days.
All right. For those young actors that are out there, follow your
it's
dream.
Like it is, you know, it's like right. It's like if this is the Titanic, how much of it is still sticking out of the water? Is it just the tip? I don't know.
We are resilient and we are creative beings.
Yes.
And so we will find a way.
You know what I think? You know what I think AI is going to do, though, as long as we're on that subject? I think it's going to be so creepily accurate and save the studios so much money. But I think it will cause a real revival in live theater.
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too.
And I think live theater will be able to, you know, expand the seating.
Yes,
because there'll be such a demand for it. Because I think as good as AI is and will be, I still think there's that creepy element to it where that's not real. It doesn't look real. It's not the same. Yeah. I mean, but I think that'll last, what, a generation? And then after that generation, everybody will be AI crazy and they'll go, what the hell are you old people talking about? It looks really real. It's great. We don't care about live theater. But I think for the next, I don't know, 20 maybe. Years.
Yeah, maybe. I do think, though, that human beings really do crave connection.
Yep.
And we are, I don't know, we're pack animals, right? We want to be with other humans. And here's the other thing. Like, I'm a person who very much, and most actors are, you know, feels like when you're at a party and you walk in a room and you can, there's 100 people there, but there's someone way in the corner and you just feel them so much that you turn your head and you connect. You look at each other, you see each other, or you see them, or they don't see you. Those moments that we all replicate in movies and television shows all the time really do happen. And that's because we're energetic beings. We're not just our physical selves. We're not just body, you know, mind, flesh, and bone. We have souls. We have spirits. We have actual energy that we're exchanging all the time. And I don't think, I mean, well, I know AI isn't going to be able to exchange energy like that.
Right. No, not even close. And
it'll be really interesting to see if it can make people laugh and cry as deeply and resonantly as we can, mm-hmm. as actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah.
It has potential tragic proportions for our futures. But
very true. Very true.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, you've been steadily working.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell you this. You need to tell me this because I didn't know this. 30 years. Various television roles, films.
30 years? More 30 than 30 years.
No, that's what it says here. It's only 30 years. Sorry, Melora. We're right. You're wrong. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I got this from the research department. 16. The AI department says it's 30 years, so that's what it is. 35 years.
It's 50 years.
50 years?
50 years. I've been a professional actor.
What?
I'm 56. I started when I was 6 years
old. No, stop it. Stop it. No, you're 35. Get out of here.
No, I'm not. And that's another thing I really noticed about.
I did the math. You said you got your first gig at 30. I mean, at five. And then we've been doing 35, 30 years. And now you're 35 years old. Stop it.
No, I'm not. I'm 56. So 50 years. 56. That's kind of amazing. Five decades. But that's something I really noticed about the Gilmore Girls episode, man. I was so young and I was so beautiful. I was watching the episode. I was like, fuck, you're gorgeous. And you're so young. How old were you when you did this? What year was this? Do you remember what year this one was?
This is 2006. This is 18 years ago.
I was very young 18 years ago.
You were 18 years younger than 56. So you were 38.
Yeah, I really looked wowed. I was just like, wow.
You're still easy on the eyes, and you were easy on the eyes back then. What can I say? It's a Melora Hardin thing. You know, it's just what happens. What's your favorite role that you ever did?
Oh my gosh. That's really hard. I will say, Golden Vanity is on my mind because I've been taking it to festivals and watching it multiple times. Mm-hmm. We went to all these festivals last year with it. And I would say it is one of my favorites because she's such a rich character. She's so multi-layered. It's just me. So it was like super challenging and fun and, you know, just like more. I'm one of those more people. I like more. And I like all cylinders firing at all times. And that required that because it was a small, you know, like micro budget. I made a dollar on that movie, movie, but it was like just super fun to carry that journey of emotional, you know, it's hilarious. It's dramatic. It's tragic. It's, you know, so just the universe of emotions that I had to traverse was really exciting. Of course, Chicago on Broadway was incredible to do because I'm a singer and I'm a dancer, and to be able to do the three things that I love 8 times a week, you know, acting, singing, and dancing all at once was just like I was basically in heaven again because all cylinders are firing, right?
Should I do that? The producers reached out.
Yes. Is it play Billy Flynn?
Yeah.
The answer is don't hesitate. Just say yes.
Oh, no.
It's just, it'll be one of the highlights of your life. When I did the Hannah Montana movie, I got Billy Ray Cyrus excited about it. He went and did it. He played Billy Flynn.
But I mean, it's like actual singing.
Yeah, but it's a great song. You know the song Billy sings.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you would have a ball.
I know.
You should be like running to your agent and get on the phone and say yes.
Well, they reached out for my availability. But
okay, good. Well, yeah, so you're pretty available right now, right? Like we all are. Because nothing's happening because of the strike.
No. I'm doing a series in Canada.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Where? What part of Canada?
Halifax.
Where's that?
It's very east. It's almost to Europe.
West. Because I did the bold type in Montreal. And is it more eastern than that? Easterly?
It's the most eastern place in the northern in North America.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sticking way out in the Atlantic. Like if you're in Massachusetts, you got to make a hard right and then go up the coast. You know what I mean?
What is it? What series are you doing there?
Sullivan's Crossing. It's a Canadian.
Americans.
It's on the CW here. And,
nice.
You know, we haven't been picked up yet for a third season, but probably will be. But
all right. Yeah. Well, between this season and third season, you should do Chicago.
Think so.
Yes. God, you'll have a good time, and then you can call me and thank me for encouraging.
we have to. Okay, so that's Golden Vanity.
Yes.
This is the one woman movie. That's you right. are playing a Judy Garland type character. Mm-hmm. You're singing, you're dancing. You're
not dancing, but I'm
not dancing.
I do sing in it though. Yeah.
And what's the top three festivals you took it to?
Well, it's a lot. Well, we premiered at the Burbank International Film Festival where we won the audience award and we won I won best actor. And then we took it to the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, where I won Best Actor and we won the Audience Award. Mm-hmm. And we also were in the St. Augustine Film Festival, and we were in the Women's Independent Film and Television Festival, where we won Best Narrative Feature. At St. Augustine, we got that was that one's not a competition one. That one's not a competition festival.
Right.
Anywhere, everywhere we went, we won awards. Mm. We didn't even apply for the big fives because I just didn't. I was really needed to not wait around anymore because this was a movie that was first time filmmakers, first time writers. It took forever to get the mm-hmm. post done on this movie, to land on a cut that was satisfactory, get the color correction, pay for the score, the sound rights and the music rights and so forth. And I literally woke up January last year and called mm-hmm. them and said, guys, do we have all the rights in place? Can I take this, the reins on this, and just submit to festivals? I just want eyes on it. Really, that was my intention. Was I just wanted people to see it because it's a real tour de force performance by me. It's a really wonderful, amazing, little quirky, fabulous, fresh movie mm-hmm. that I just wanted people to see. So now we're trying to sell it in 2020.
All right. It's called Golden Vanity, yeah. starring Melora Hardin. Check it out when it's yeah. available for downloads, or if it hits yeah. your little theater, or it gets on a streamer. Yeah. Check it out. But I want to talk about Gene Hackman, Clint Eastwood, absolute power.
Yeah.
Riveting scene. Tell us about this. If you don't know the scene in Absolute Power, Melora plays the mistress of the president of the United States, which is portrayed by the great Gene Hackman. And Clint Eastwood is a cat burglar, a high-end cat burglar who was in that house, because it's not the president's house. It's the billionaire super PAC guy who's funding his campaign.
Right.
Allowing Gene Hackman to have his dalliance with Melora Hardin. And Clint Eastwood is robbing this man's master bedroom safe, which is behind mirrors, and he's getting off with cash and jewels and all kinds of things. And then Melora Hardin and the President of the United States waltz into the room and start kind of getting on down. And so Clint can't leave. And he stays and he watches. He sits in that chair and he watches. And he watches you get murdered.
Right.
By the President of the United States, because he wanted it rough and he likes it rough. And he smacked you and you smacked him back. And then it got bad. And then the bad thing happened. And yeah. what a heart-wrenching scene. Tell us about that.
I mean, God,
How'd you get it? Did you audition?
I did audition for it. And actually it's interesting. Phyllis Huffman was the casting director, who is a family friend, because David Huffman, her late husband, actually was a really close friend with my father. They had done a movie together and become very close friends. And Phyllis called me in for it. And actually, when I first read it, it was written completely naked the whole time. She was just nude from like start to finish.
Right.
And I just felt like, well, I'll go in, but you know, whatever. I wasn't going to do like such a sexual scene that becomes such a violent scene completely naked. I just wasn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. So basically I went in, I did my reading, and I told Phyllis that. I said, you know, just so you know, like I think this is great. I love it. I would love to work with Clint Eastwood, of course, and Gene Hackman, and you know, but I'm not going to do this completely naked. So like, I'm just letting you know. And she's like, okay, yeah, I mean, good to know, you know. And so apparently, you know, whatever, Clint liked it and chose me, and she told him, and he's like, okay, well, just ask her if she'd be okay if it was like a very short skirt, and if she could be wearing like a bra or underwear that we could expose.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, absolutely, that's fine. And when I went,
and Clint's directing this movie as well.
Clint directed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when I went in for my fitting, I went in and got fitted for this beautiful dress that they made for me, and beautiful bra and underwear thing, and he was just great. He was just like, you know, I went and met them on that day, and he was so sweet. And I met Gene, and Gene was like, I'm a little nervous about our scene. And I said, don't worry, Gene, I'll take care of you. And I was like 30 and he was like 72. I'm not kidding.
Right,
he was as old as my dad. And, you know, and it was just so cute. Like it was so cute that he was vulnerable enough to tell me that he was nervous and that I was playful with him. He loved, and he set a place for me every single day next to him at lunch. And it would always be me and Clint, me and Gene, and his bodyguard, who was also his stand-in and friend, and like trainer and everything. And we would just, the three of us would always eat together. He was such a gentleman to me. Every time my skirt flew up and they'd cut, he'd always put my skirt down when they'd cut. He always gave me his hand to help me up. He was just, he couldn't have been more of a gentleman. And Clint too. And I really felt like the two of them were just, you know, it was funny because when I finished, I was like, well, if I ever was going to do a completely nude scene from like for it's like a 10 minute long scene.
Right.
If I was going to do a 10 minute long scene completely nude, I think Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman have proved themselves to be the ones to do that with, because they just were so, there was just never anything lascivious or distasteful or it was just like playful and warm and respectful, and it just couldn't have been a better working environment.
Man, that's fantastic. What a scene.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
What a great director he is.
He's such a great director, and he's so funny. I mean, when he, you know, in the scene where he during the scene he punches me, there's a, you know, a shot where Clint was like, they were down on the ground and I fall into the shot, like, you know, just a very close up. And the first time I did it, I fall into the shot and we cut, and I was like, oh God, like I went down too hard and I hit my head. And Clint was like, Laura, you can just act it. You don't have to do it, really do it. He was so cute. He was just like, I'm buying it. You don't hurt your head.
Wow, man. What a feather in your cap, though, to work with those two guys. I mean, really just great.
It
good
really
for
was
you.
Joyous.
What a scene. That's one of the most memorable movie scenes, because when they said Melora Hardin, I went, wait a minute. I know her. Wait a minute. She was in that scene.
Right.
That was one of the great scenes.
Oh, I love that you remember it that vividly.
Oh, fantastic.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we're going to play a little game now called Rapid Fire.
Okay.
You ready?
Not really.
Good luck.
I hate Rapid Fire, but I'll try.
Good luck.
Okay.
I'm trying to wish you luck. How do you like your coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Thank you. Are you Team Logan, Team Jess, Team Dean? You don't drink coffee. I get it. Who is your favorite Gilmore Girls couple? Luke and Lorelai, Emily and Richard.
Luke and Lorelai.
Correct answer.
How could I not say that when you're sitting here in front of me?
Correct answer. You don't drink coffee. Would you rather work with Michelle or Kirk?
I don't know. Who should you tell me who?
You don't drink coffee.
Michelle.
That's always that's a safe. No. Michelle, it's a safer choice.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I like making the safe choice. So I'll say Kirk.
That's right. You did that scene. So that's not a safe choice.
Yeah.
What would you order at Luke's Diner?
Not coffee.
Everything else. you know, I have a coffee company and we'd like you as our spokesperson.
Okay.
Who would you rather hang out with, Paris or Lane?
Oh my God, this is hard for me. I'm not a Gilmore Girls Uber fan, really. You're gonna have to feed me some of these answers because I
Lane.
Don't.
You'd rather hang out with Lane.
I would.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you don't drink coffee. You need a lot of coffee to deal with Paris. Like copious amounts. You need an IV.
I wish my daughters were here so they could shout in my ear because they both have watched the Gilmore Girls from they've seen it all. They've seen the whole thing and I really haven't. So they'd be like, Mom, this one, Mom, that one.
Harvard or Yale?
Gosh, let's see. Well, probably I would say Yale, yeah, for me.
Okay. Why?
Well, because the Yale Drama School is,
I think, pretty exciting. That's it. It's completely logical.
Meryl Streep is why.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather attend a DAR event with Emily or a town meeting with Taylor?
A town meeting.
Yeah, no, you'd rather attend.
Okay.
Very hot and sweaty in those tents.
Oh, yeah.
The 120 degrees. It's all day and all night.
Is that what you called it?
Meeting? DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution.
Yeah. Oh, I'd rather. Oh, definitely that.
Yeah, you get the, you don't have to sweat.
My daughter.
And it's over in like an hour.
Daughters of the American Revolution when they were like 9 and 7. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like a real thing. It's cool.
Yeah, no, it's a real deal. Well, cool. Gilmore Girls character, you would want as a roommate.
You.
Natch. Something in your life you are all in on.
Something in my life that I'm
in your life that you are all in on.
Being a mom.
Being a mom. Fantastic. Melora Hardin, you are fun and you're funny. And what a great career, and keep on keeping on. And I guess I'll maybe hopefully one day work with you as an AI bot somewhere.
Let's not do it as AIs. Let's do it as real people.
You want to do it as real people?
I think so. It'd be more fun. We'll exchange more energy that way.
I'm going to talk to the producers of this show. I'm going to get you on my show.
Okay, good. I love that idea. Let's do it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, let's do it. Sounds yeah. good to me. I'm not working right now.
You know what? I'm actually going to talk to them. After I get off, I'm going to call.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
I don't mess around.
Let's not mess around. I don't. No time. There's no time to mess around anymore.
I got no time.
No time.
I got no time. So, all the best. It was a pleasure.
You're a pleasure too. Thank you.
Just good luck with the film. Really
Thank
good
you.
Luck with Golden. Was it Golden Vanity?
Golden Vanity, yeah.
Good luck with Golden Vanity. Thanks. And I hope it blows up for you. And
yeah, well, you know what? At this point, I just want people to see it. I just want it to sell so people can see it, because it's a quirky thing. It's not for everybody. It's you know, but I'm telling you, it's really good for people that want to sit through it. If you want, I'll send you a link, a private link. You can watch it and you tell
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it would be right up your
yes.
alley. You probably
yeah,
it.
No, I want to see it. I definitely want to see it.
Okay.
All right. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.